Well, blessings, my dear brethren. This is Pastor Joe with your Sunday night message from Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. I'm excited to share with you from the Word of God once again on the life of David. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty, and we are starting to see things come to light, and these are very exciting times in the life of David. God is molding him and allowing things to take place that will inevitably create the empire that God told him that he would have. Now, let's read 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. The Bible says, "And he said, Well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face. And David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, Deliver me my wife, Michal, which I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from the Philistine, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along, weeping behind her to Bahurim. And then said Abner unto him, Go return. And he returned. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, You sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then, do it, for the Lord has spoken of David, saying, By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines, and out of the hand of all their enemies. And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin, and Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, that thou mayest reign over all that thou desire. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Tonight's message is part four of the anointing of David as king. And the title of our message tonight is The Rise of a Unified Kingdom Led by David. The Rise of a Unified Kingdom Led by David. I would like to recap. In the beginning portion of chapter 3, we see the adding of David having six wives and also having six sons by them. I tried my best to find any and every bit of information about those six sons. We saw that there were some that just were barely mentioned. But also, we saw one mentioned for being a killer of his brother and also striving to take the throne from his own father. Another thing, we find Abner becoming more powerful. He's becoming more popular with everyone around, and there was something wrong with that. Ishbosheth does not like the popularity of his counterpart, and he does something that he would normally not do. He accuses Abner of having an affair with one of Saul's wives. With this major accusation, it could cause him to be put to death, because this is an indicator of trying to take the throne away from the king. Abner becomes very angry, which rightfully so, and tells Ishbosheth that if he messes with him, he will change his loyalty over David, to David, the one that had been chosen by God. They continue on, and certainly Abner finally decides to go to David and be a part of the kingdom under David. The part that we left off is that we find David saying that he will accept Abner under one condition, and that is for him to bring Michal with him. Now, we must remember that Michal is David's first wife and Saul's daughter. So in tonight's message, we will see whether or not Ishbosheth agrees to the terms. But before I get into the message, I would like to share that in this message, we will see the importance of always seeking reconciliation among God's people. Listen, we may have a different viewpoint, but but it is always important to make things right. And in today's passage, we will see that. So, from this passage, first, I see David's request. I see David's request in verse 14. It says, And David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, Deliver me my wife, Michal, which I espouse for me 100 foreskins of the Philistines." So the request was simple. All Abner had to do was to gather Michal, which was Saul's first wife, and then he could join David's kingdom. This was a unique set of circumstances, but one has to think that David missed Michal very much and desired for her to be a part of his family once again. I don't know how it is for someone that had 6 other wives, but I do know the one wife I have is very special to me, and there's nothing that I wouldn't do to get her back if someone had taken her from me. So we see the request is made known. And now let's see what Abner will do in turn. I'm sure that he thought, "Are you kidding? This is the kind of request that you want?" But anyways, we see in verses 15 and 16 his response. We see that David's request was granted in verses 15 and 16. Why? Because King Ishbosheth was unable to deny David's request because of a couple of things. It says, "And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish." So the false king, which is Ishbosheth, was not able to detain David from getting exactly what he wanted. Having lost the support of his commander, Abner, he granted his wish and sent for Michal. Why would he not say no to this request? Simply put, and most commentators will say, because he was scared of Abner and what may happen to him. He knew that he was a very powerful man, and now all he could do was to send for Michal. And he thought if this was all that he had to give up in order to keep his power, to keep his throne, and all of that, it wasn't going to be too bad giving up his sister. However, there was only one problem. Phaltiel, which is the husband of Michal, her second husband, was heartbroken, suffering anguish and deep pain. See, when Michal was taken away from their home, Phaltiel followed her as far as Bahurim, which was about 2 miles northeast of Jerusalem. As one wrote, this meant Michal's husband had followed her some 20 miles from their home in Mahanaim, the capital of Ishbosheth's power. Furthermore, at some point, Abner forced Michal's husband to give up and to return home. Now, the question that you may be asking in this moment in time is this. Was this legal to take away Michal from this man? Or was it a terrible side of David? Well, I would like to quote from Preacher's Outline and Sermon Bible. It states, "Most commentators hold that David was justified in having Michal returned for him, for her second husband knew that she belonged to David when he married her. However, the commandments of God do prohibit divorced people from remarrying. Was David justified in his demand to have Michal returned to him? Each reader will have to draw his own conclusion based upon rights versus the commandment of God." And I would like to say that David was in the wrong already with how many wives he had. But listen, polygamy was very common in that day, especially with those of higher ranking. So we've seen David's request was granted in verses 15 and 16. I would like to share with you a third thing. In verses 17 and 18, we see that Abner consulted with the leaders of Israel. Abner consulted with the leaders of Israel. And what was he consulting about? He desired for David to be their king. He desired for David to be their king. Verse 17. It says, "And you sought for David in times past to be king over you." So he sought after the ones that could make a big difference in the power of David. This must have been as a shock to the people, as Abner was Saul's right-hand man and also Ishbosheth's as well. Thus, as he challenged them to give support to David, he did so in order to accomplish one thing. I believe That is for David to trust him and use him in his kingdom. But he also not only asked him to allow David to be king, but he also reminded them of something else. And that was God's promise to David. Verse 18. God's promise to David. It says, "For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people out of Israel, out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies." So Abner reminded these people of a couple of things. First, he reminded them that the Lord himself had promised success and victory through David. See, Abner was saying, don't forget that the Lord has promised success and victory through David. Even though Abner, for years, had been following the ways of Saul, he knew that the plan was not for Saul, but it was for none other than David. Listen, this brings up an interesting question. If Abner knew this the entire time, then why was he on Saul's side instead of David's? To me, I don't have any biblical basis behind this, but it was all about the power and the prestige that he had with Saul. Have you ever questioned something to the point that you believed it was true? I'm certain all of us have desired something at times, and we've questioned it to the point that we began to believe, and in Abner's case, this could be where he was at. See, Israel was facing powerful enemies in the Philistines and the surrounding nations. And so Abner reminded them of the power that David had through God. And so as he reminded them, and as they were facing enemies, powerful enemies in the Philistines and surrounding areas, Abner used this as constant pressure to make them understand the importance of joining with David. See, after Abner reminded them of the constant pressure that they were surrounded by, but that the constant presence of the Lord on David and how he would always protect David's people, I'm certain this must have gained some momentum within the leaders. They can know that they would be protected if they followed David. So we've seen here that Abner desired for David to be the nation of Israel's king. And as he did so, he reminded them of God's promise to David. And he reminded them that Israel was facing powerful enemies in the Philistine and the surrounding nations. But then, not only do we see that Abner consulted with the leaders of Israel, but then Abner consulted with the Benjamites. Look with me in verse 19. "And Adam also spake in the ears of Benjamin, and Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron, that all that seemed good to Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin." So what do we see here? This was very interesting because this was Saul's tribe, and Abner is going after them. Listen, we must remember this would be Ishbosheth people, but Abner went after them as a way of solidifying David's kingdom and power. So what would happen as Abner spoke to those people? The question that we have to ask is, would they agree for David to be king or not? Well, in verses 19 through 21, we see David's desire for unification among the nation of Israel. We see David's desire for unification among the nation of Israel. Look at me in verse 19. "And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin, and Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron, and all that seemed good to Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of God," the whole house of Benjamin. Now watch with me in verse 20. "So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him, and David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast." So David brought out, as you could say, the red carpet for these men. He knew this was the best time for him to be able to gain the momentum that he was desiring. He treated these men with royalty as they came in for the feast. the meeting went great for David because we see that they came to an agreement. Look with me in verse 21. And Abner said to David, I will arise and go and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all thine heart desireth. So what a joyous occasion this was for David, Abner, and the people around. They came to a conclusion, they came to an agreement, and the reign of David was about to begin over the nation of Israel. They knew it was in their best interest for all parties involved, and David got exactly what God had promised. Together, this would be a powerful army. It would not be able to detain through God's power. And then we see that David sent Abner away to gather everyone for a celebration. It says, and David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. This was a time to celebrate and divide everyone to a party of the joining between the nation of Israel and David's kingdom. If it hadn't been for a man that was David's enemies, who knows if this would have happened. But God can and will use people even when they don't know He is using them. God's plan will always come to pass. We must remember that. So, in conclusion, this was very exciting days in the life of David. Abner was now one of his right-hand men and had done great things for David. David's kingdom was expanding and Ishbosheth's was decreasing. One man went for the Lord and the other did not. God's way is always the best. May we remember to lean on the Lord and be guided by Him daily. Because if we desire to see great things accomplished through our lives, we must be guided by Almighty God. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you grace.